So one of the sentences that you said that you heard a lot is, we'll give away our lives but never our land. So can you talk about that a little bit?
You know, before I went into the forest and marched with the comrades for many, many years, I mean more than 10 years ago, I was writing about perhaps the biggest nonviolent Gandhian anti-dam movement, the Narmada Bachao Andolan. I think I've spoken here about it many years ago in this auditorium, maybe. But as I said, just dams alone have displaced more than 30 million people. And today, with the neoliberal economic policies, the biggest issue that is causing unrest across the country is displacement and the takeover of people's lands. In the Narmada movement, people would stand in their homes while the river rose and basically, you know, to protest in those ways. It just didn't matter. The dams just kept going up. Today, they are building about 100 dams in the Himalayas in Arunachal Pradesh, which is a very thinly populated area. The trouble is that in a place like this, in Dandakaranya, when it's mining companies that want to take over your land, if you're organized, you can defend your land. But if it's a question of a dam, let's say the biggest dam on the Narmada Valley project, the Sardar Sarovar Dam, the dam is being built in Gujarat, which is a completely fascist state. But the submergence, the reservoir is in the other states, in Madhya Pradesh and Maharashtra. You know, it's not as though people are coming to take over your land. The thing you love the most, your river is rising to take over the land. You can't shoot the river. You can't blow up the river. You know, how do you fight a dam? You can fight it if you prevent it from being built in the first place. But if it's being built, they can secure the site, you know, militarily, as they are in the Northeast. But if you look at the history of the struggle for land in India, what is really sad is that in the 1970s, well, let's say after India became independent, land reform was one of the biggest things on the agenda of the new government, which was, of course, obviously subverted by all the politicians who were upper caste people, who were landowners, who were what we call zamindars. So they put in so many caveats in the legal system that absolutely no redistribution really happened. But then in the 1970s, when this Naxalite movement started, when the first people rose up, it was about the redistribution of land. It was saying land to the tiller, you know, and it was crushed. The army was called out. The Indian government, which calls itself democratic, never hesitates to call out the army. So the army was called out. This movement was crushed. But today, people have forgotten, completely forgotten the idea of redistribution. They are just fighting to be allowed to hold on to what little they have, you know, and we call that progress, because the Home Minister says he wants 70% of India to live in cities. That means he wants 500 to 600 million people to move. How do you do that unless you become a military state? How do you do that unless you build big dams and big thermal projects and have nuclear power, you know? So really, in so many ways, we have regressed. And even the most radical politics like this that I'm writing about is still about people who are privileged enough to have land. But there are millions and millions of people who don't have land, who now just live as pools of underpaid wage labor on the edges of these huge megalopolises that make up India now. So the politics of land in one way is radical, and in another way, it's left out the poorest people because they are just out of the equation. We don't talk about justice anymore. None of us do. We just talk about human rights or survival, you know. We don't talk about redistribution. I mean, in America, 400 people own the wealth of more than half of the American population. So we should be not saying tax the rich, we should be saying take their money and redistribute it. Yeah. Take their property and...